Lesson today is found in the book of Judges, the 6th chapter. We find in the beginning of this chapter that Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midianites for 7 years. These people, the Israelites, they were prone to do evil in the sight of God. That's all that we read of practically in this book of Judges. Continually they departed from God and did evil in his sight. And God again and again came with his judgments upon them. And when they were brought to repentance, he raised up judges that delivered them from their enemies. Now, these people, the Israelites, are not any different than you and I. They have the same nature, and they likewise departed from God and did evil in his sight. So with you and I, how prone are we to depart from God and to do evil in his sight? Why, every moment we're apt to transgress his laws. Every moment we're apt to sin against him. We aren't any different than these Israelites by nature. And God delivered them into the hand of the Midianites 7 years. The Midianites, they descended from the fourth son from Keturah that Abraham had by her, namely Midian. Now these people, they lived on the east coast of the Red Sea. And their land extended unto the land of Israel, practically unto the peninsula of Sinai. And we find that these people came up and they prevailed over the Israelites 7 years. What a long time this was for these Israelites to be under their dominion. And they came up in great multitudes. The scripture says they came up like grasshoppers. They came up with the people of the east. They invaded the land. They destroyed everything that the Israelites had put on the ground to grow. They took away from them their oxes, their asses, and their sheep, and they left nothing for the Israelites. Because of these people, the Israelites, they went into dens, they went into caves in the mountains for fear of these people. They had no heart. They were cowards in this respect to come out and fight against them. So whatever they could take with them, they took and hid it in these caves and in these dens. And this then was the condition of these people, the Israelites. And they had been time and again in this condition. Down in the land of Egypt, they had been oppressed. They had been made slaves of. And they cried unto God, and God delivered them. They are again being oppressed. And when there was no way out anymore, when they didn't see anything else before them but that surely they would die and their name would be extinguished from off the earth, they began to cry unto God. My hearers, these Midianites, they are a type of the enemies that invade the soul of true Israelites even to this day. Oh, when sin, when the devil, when the world, when the flesh invade the souls of God's dear children, oh, then just like it was with the Israelites, there was nothing left of them anymore, so it is with such a person. Oh, there was a time when they were green, when they were fat, and when they were flourishing in the courts of God. And they thought that it would stay that way. Oh, yes, I did too. But oh, lo and behold, sin gets the upper hand. The devil comes with many temptations. And the world, the lures, and the flesh is so strong. And we find ourselves giving way to these enemies. And when we continually give way to them, you find that this precious life that God has bestowed in your heart seems to die away. And the enemy seems to get the upper hand. And when nothing seems to be left anymore, you can't see any signs or any marks of grace anymore that you have had, and you feel so barren and so lifeless, and you fear that everything is wrong, that then you begin to cry unto God. It comes to an extremity. It came that way with these people. They cried unto the Lord, and now the Lord heard their cry. And if you are crying unto the Lord, he hears your cry. And what did the Lord do? He sent a prophet. Who this prophet was, the scripture doesn't say. But he sent a prophet. And this prophet, he came to speak unto the people. And he spoke in the name of the Lord. And he said, I, the Lord thy God, brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of bondage. I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians. And I also destroyed all your enemies before you and brought you into this land. And I said, I am the Lord thy God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land thou dwellest, but ye have not obeyed my voice. This, my hearers, was the message of God to these Israelites. Oh, God is so merciful, my hearers, even in letting the Midianites prevail over the Israelites. God put a cry in their hearts, and God sent them a prophet. What did this prophet do? He brought before them the goodness of God over these people, what he had done for them. He had brought them up out of the land of Egypt. He had delivered them out of the Egyptians' hands, out of their servitude, out of their slavery. And he had destroyed all their enemies before them. He's making all his goodness pass before the memories of these Israelites, what he had done for them. And he had told them, I am the Lord thy God. Serve me. Do not serve the idol gods of the Amorites. But ye have not obeyed my voice. This was the message, my hearers. And if I have it right, I think this message brought them to cry mightily yet to God. Has God sent people? Has God ever sent a prophet unto you when you were crying to him because everything seemed to be gone? Did he bring back to you what he done for you? How he delivered you out of the world? How he put grace into your soul? How he gave you to enjoy much of his presence and of his love under the means of grace? Did he make all his goodness pass before you? And when that happened, did you not have it in your heart? Did you not make a covenant with him that you would serve him, that you would love him, that you would fear him all the days of your life? And what did you do? Shame must cover your face when you think how that you departed from him, how you sinned against him. Such a good God, such a kind God. You left him. You went and served these idol gods, just like Israel of old. Oh, my hearers, God sends a prophet to these people, but he sends also to his dear children, even this day, he sends a messenger. Sometimes he uses a minister. The minister begins to dwell upon the work of God in the soul of a sinner. And that person that's under this condition is given to hear as if it was just for him or her. This is the message of God to them. And all my hearers, when this takes place, oh, how such a soul is brought down under the goodness and under the kindness and the mercy of God, and is brought to cry and to weep, Lord, bring me back again. I don't care what way you take. Oh, do give me again your smiles, your comfort, your consolations, your communion, your fellowship. And this, the Israelites were brought to, and by this prophet, who was used for this message to bring the Israelites in the right place. And my hearers, we find that God sent an angel. Now the angel, he came and sat under an oak in Ophrah, pertaining unto Joash, the Abizarite. Now this appearance of an angel was a sign of the goodness of God towards Israel, that he didn't leave them go on in their sins, but that he was yet their covenant God and thought of them. And this angel, he came to a person by the name of Gideon. Now Gideon was threshing wheat by the winepress for fear of the Midianites. Now this threshing wheat by the winepress was more or less to conceal what he was doing, so that the Midianites, they would not take away the wheat that he had threshed. In the East, a wine press was usually a cistern built in the ground. They dumped the grapes into this cistern and they pressed the juice out of the grapes with their feet. This was a crude way of making wine in the Eastern countries. But here, Gideon is threshing wheat and putting it down in the cistern, hiding it from the Midianites. And as he is busy working in this way, there comes an angel unto him in the form of a man, probably had a staff in his hand as if he was a traveler. And he says unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." What a salutation. What a wonderful way to speak unto a man. Now this Gideon, he didn't accept this, what the angel said unto him. It was a message personally for him, but he did not accept it. As you will notice in the next verse, he says, "If the Lord be with us," he didn't say, "If the Lord be with me." He says, "If the Lord be with us," that is the Israelites, "why then has all this come upon us? For surely our fathers have told us how that the Lord delivered us out of the hand of the Egyptians by many miracles. But now the Lord hath forsaken us, he hath given us into the hands of the Midianites." See in this, my hearers, that Gideon accepted not what the Lord spake unto him. But this angel was none other than the angel of the covenant, Jesus Christ, the angel Jehovah. He appeared many times in the form of a man under the Old Testament times, and he it was that appeared here unto Gideon. And he spake unto him in this wonderful way, "The Lord is with thee." Oh, my hearers, how many listening to me would like the Lord to say that to you? "The Lord is with thee." Wouldn't you want him to say that to you? Why, if he says that to you, and you may receive it, what more could you want? What more could you desire? What more could you have if the Lord is with you? Let everybody be against you. Let the whole world be against you. The Lord is with you. You have one of the greatest blessings upon earth. "The Lord is with thee," he says unto him. And still he didn't receive it. He couldn't see that the Lord was with them as a people, as a nation, because surely the Lord wouldn't let them people be like they were then. Now this happens too, my hearers, spiritually. To that particular person that's been being led like these Israelites, it may be that you, soul in particular, have come under the means of grace, and the Lord has spoken to you and said, "The Lord is with thee." And maybe you said the same thing that Gideon did. you began to say, how could the Lord be with me? Would I be like I am? Would I sin so against him? Would I have so many things that are so contrary to the work of grace in me? Could it be that the Lord would be with me? No. There was a time when I did believe that he was with me. Then I had his smile. Then I had his love in my soul. Then I enjoyed so much of his presence. But now everything is gone. I'm just a barren wilderness. There ain't anything left of it. How could the Lord be with me? The Lord has forsaken me. Maybe there's a soul here that says that. That's what Gideon said. The Lord hath forsaken us. And he has given us into the hands of the Midianites. And that's what you say probably, Saul. You say the Lord has forsaken me too. All the enemies prevail. There's nothing left anymore for me but what? Oh, you're just like the Israelites. They feared that they would be destroyed, that they would be wiped out as a nation, that they all would die. And that's what you fear. You fear that that's the end of you. And there's no hope anymore for you. Gideon, he is spoken to so wonderfully, and still he did not receive the message that the angel brought to him. That is a personal message. And now, after he spake in this way to the angel, and we read, and the Lord looked upon him and said unto him, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel out of the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Oh, what wonderful words were spoken unto this man Gideon. The Lord looked upon him. Why, my hearers, has the Lord ever looked upon you? If he ever has looked upon you in love, in favor, in grace, in mercy, then you have been given the look back. And all you've been given to love, to know this Lord as your Lord, as your Savior, as your Redeemer. All you've found your heart going out unto him. You were crumbled into dust before him. You were broken into contrition because he was looking upon you. He looked upon you in love and pity and mercy and compassion. Oh, what a mercy it is, my hearers, if the Lord looks upon any man or upon any woman and puts grace into their souls. Oh, what a distinguished favor that is in this life, for the Lord to look upon us and to use us as he was going to use Gideon. He was going to use him for a wonderful work. And when the Lord is going to use anyone for a special work, be it nationally, be it in his own kingdom, then the Lord is sure to assure that person that he's going to use him. You see this in the history of Gideon. The Lord is dealing with him very mercifully, speaking unto him and looking upon him. You know, when the Lord was here upon earth, the Lord Jesus, and then he walked alongside of the seaside. And he looked and he seen who? He seen Peter and Andrew. And they were mending the nets of their fathers. And he looked on them and he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they left the ship, they left their father, and they followed him. See what a look does? Have you been given a look, my hearers? Oh, you remember Matthew. He was sitting at the receipt of custom. He was a tax gatherer. And the Lord walked by and looked at him. Follow me, he says to him. He left everything. He arose and he followed Jesus. Oh, what a look does, my hearers. How I wish that the Lord would look upon you. Every one of you. And every one of you would leave everything. Believe me. You know, Zacchaeus, he climbed up in a tree to look at Jesus, never thinking that Jesus would look at him. He went up there out of curiosity. The Lord Jesus comes along, looks up at the tree. He sees him sitting up there. He knows where you are too, soul. And when that time comes for him to look at you, then you will do the same thing. Zacchaeus, come down out of the tree. for I must abide at thy house this day. Then Zacchaeus came down. Salvation came to his house. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is, my hearers, for the Lord to look upon a poor sinner and to draw that sinner to himself. The Lord looked upon him and said unto him, go in this thy might. This man, Gideon, he had been called a mighty man of valor. What he had done, Scripture does not give us any account of why that the Lord called him that. In all probabilities, maybe because he was working so mightily with the wheat and threshing it. That's what the commentary says. But he sure was a mighty man in and through the strength of God. For the strength of the Lord makes a person strong. And now he's spoken to again. Go in this thy strength. What strength was that? Why, that was, I will be with thee. I will be with thee. And you shall save Israel out of the hand of the Midianites. Have my eye sent thee? Oh, how encouraging these words were. For this man, Gideon, you know the Lord wants to take away all discouragements, all obstacles, all what we find in ourselves that would rise up against what the Lord wants to use us for. And this we find here in Gideon's experience. That Gideon then, he is commanded by the Lord to go and save Israel. Him all alone, how is he going to save Israel? One man, and still the Lord said, as sure as I am speaking unto you, you shall save Israel. You shall save them, as if there was only one man before you. The Lord sent him. What a mercy to be sent by the Lord, to be called by the Lord, to be chosen by the Lord. All my hearers, this what Gideon is experiencing is similar to what the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world sent by the Father. He came to save the children that God had chosen from all eternity, that spiritual Israel. Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel. So Jesus came into this world to save his dear children. And so he did save them. And so the Lord is strengthening Gideon in this manner that he would save Israel out of the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee to assure him that he was God's messenger, that he was God's captain, and that God would be with him? What a mercy if in this life God has given us something like this. Even when we are born again. But then it pleases God that when we are so in doubt, in so many fears concerning whether it's God's work or not, then God comes. And then he makes it sure, he makes it certain for us that he is with us and that he has sent us, called us, anointed us, and brought us out of this world. Oh, what a mercy if God calls any young man. How I wish that he would call, even like Gideon was called, and being sent as God sent him. What a mercy if we are called to an office, that we may believe that God has called us and that God has sent us. Oh, pity the poor man that enters into the office of a ministry and has never been sent by God. Never been called by God. Oh, my hearers, what a mercy if God has called us and sent us and we can come back on what he said to us, that we have something to go back to. But oh, pity the poor creature that goes up in his pride and in his ignorance and in his blindness and is without being sent by God. And now Gideon, after hearing this wonderful message, he says unto the Lord, how shall I save Israel? I am of one of the poorest of the families in Israel, and I can't go forth in this way. He then, in this respect, reveals unto the Lord his weakness. He says that he was of the poorest of the family in Manasseh, and that he was not able to go forth because he felt himself so insufficient and so unable to do this work that God called him to. See the result, my hearers, of grace. Grace humbles a person. Grace makes a person feel his insufficiency, his inability, how unqualified he felt himself to be. His family was one of the poorest in Manasseh, and probably he was the only one at that time that had grace in his soul. In all probabilities, he was the youngest of that family, and he protested maybe against his father for raising up an idol in the grove that he had built, for his own father had built an altar unto Baal and had built a grove round it. In all probabilities, this young man, he didn't go to worship this idol. He protested against it, but he got nowhere. Here, he was in this family, the youngest, and he was being called to go forth to deliver the Israelites out of the hand of the Midianites. See again, my hearers, the wonder of God's grace here in the family. Maybe this man, Joash, he was the ringleader, because it says later on that this altar that he had built unto Baal was not just only for his family, but it was for the whole city. It seems in this respect that this man was the ringleader, because afterwards, when Gideon was commanded to knock this altar down, then we find all the men of the city rose up against it. So here, God chooses son of the ringleader of idolatry. God does that yet, my hearers. Or he raises up sometimes out of the midst of an ungodly family one. He puts grace in that person's soul, and that soul begins a reformation in the midst of the family. It probably don't get anywhere, but its voice is heard. God uses sometimes such creatures as he did Gideon in this respect. And now, my hearers, Gideon then, he is then called by God to do this wonderful work. God then gives him that assurance that he would be with him and that he would surely deliver the Midianites into his hand. How wonderful this meeting was for Gideon. He then had that assurance that this God in heaven above would be with him. And now we find that the next night God appeared again unto him and said unto him, go. Throw down the altar of Baal that your father has made and the grove that he has round about it. And take the second bullock of 7 years and use the wood of the grove and make an altar unto God and sacrifice this 7-year bullock unto God. The wonder of it is that very night he had another meeting with God. Oh, God is so wonderful sometimes, my hearers. He had been enjoying much of God all day long, I would say, and then at night God came to him again. Has God ever done that to you? Has he ever appeared to you? Sometimes twice in one day, and then sometimes you haven't had an appearance for years. So it was with Gideon. The Lord appeared unto him and commanded him to do this. This teaches us that his father was an idolater, that his father had sinned likewise in building such an altar unto Baal. Altars were used by the patriarchs to sacrifice unto God. And Noah was the first patriarch that built an altar and sacrificed a sacrifice of thanksgiving because he had been spared through the flood. We find the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, making altars and sacrificing on them animals as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, who likewise would be sacrificed for the sins of his people. Now these altars, that we find there was two of them in the tabernacle and also in the temple. God had commanded them to be built. In the tabernacle, which they carried around, that we find there was an altar of offering and of sacrifices, and there was an altar of incense. Now this altar in the tabernacle was 7 feet wide and 4.5 feet high. On the top of this altar, it was overlaid with brass. And there was a grate on the top of it when they offered the sacrifice, and then the ashes would fall into a pan underneath it. There was also on this altar a projection where the priest stood when he offered. But in the temple that Solomon built, it was an immense altar, where the altar was 31 feet and it was 15 feet high. And this, what they built for Baal, was probably similar to what the patriarchs built. A grove was a place where there was a great cluster of trees planted, and underneath there was no brush or anything. Now the Israelites were forbidden to plant a grove. 3 times God warned the Israelites not to plant a grove, for the simple reason that in these groves that they would worship deities, idol deities, and they would make as if they had communications with them. And not only would they practice this idolatry, but they would do the most horrible things in these groves under a pretension of religion to cover themselves up. And God forbid Israel to make any groves like this. The religion of Jesus Christ is not a hidden religion, my hearers, it is in the heart. But it's not to be held in groves, it's not to be held in secret, it's proclaimed in the house of God. For the sake of true religion, God forbid them to build these groves. And now Gideon, he was to take this altar that they had made unto Baal, and he was to knock it down. And he was to cut down the grove and use the wood that was in this grove to sacrifice this bullock unto God. A bullock, it could have been an ox, it could have been a bull, it could have been a steer. The word bullock means some sort of an animal in this respect. These were the animals that were used for sacrifice. And God commanded Gideon to take the second bullock that his father had and offer it up unto him. Gideon, he took 10 of his servants with him, and because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, he did not do it in the daytime, but he did it at night. He fulfilled the command of God. He drew down the altar of Baal, and he cut down the grove, and he offered unto God. What the people of the city said to him, and what they wanted to do with him, and how his father had a change of heart, we hope to continue with next week, the Lord willing. That's all for today.